Many of the virtual speakers will be at the OA Birthday Party, February 22nd through 24th at the LAX Crown Plaza. For more information, visit www.oalaig.org.
It's on page 123 of Voices of Recovery. What do we say when we talk with God? We say whatever we feel like saying. That's from the OA 12 and 12. What sets OA apart from the diets, clubs, and other programs for compulsive overeaters? A faith in a higher power that will restore me to sanity. And that higher power can be anything I choose it to be. I can choose God as I understand God, not as my parents understand God, or my community, my friends, or even my sponsor. It is my understanding that matters, no one else's. God comes to each of us in the way we can best understand. I need no formal ritual, no structured prayer to talk to my God today. I need only believe that God is with me and God is here. I talk to God today as I do my best friend. I seek guidance, ask for strength, and most of all, I say thank you. Okay, with no further ado, please join me in welcoming our first speaker, Mary Clark.
First of all, I'm Mary Pat, a compulsive overeater. Welcome all of you to this 4th of July. Haven't we got a glorious day here? And it's nice to be in the park. How great is that? If people are having trouble hearing me, please raise your hand and I will speak louder. Okay? Perhaps I should stand. Maybe that's better than standing. Can you hear better? Okay. For those of you who have heard me, I apologize because I may be repeating myself and you may have heard some of these stories before. But because today is a spiritual focus, or that seems to be part of the meeting, I want to say what it was like for me before I came in program. And when I was growing up, I grew up in a family that had a Catholic family, and my father was a convert. They can be terribly staunch about the literal word. And I had a mixed bag. I had a Catholic education, and I had really wonderful teachers, and also people who really had no calling to teach, and that was complicated. And I felt the same way about the church. I had guidance in the church that I thought was absolutely inspired, and I had guidance in the church that I thought was deeply uninspired. And because of that, I had a God in place that punished me, that had a level of perfection, a standard that I was supposed to rise to. I lived in a constant state of disappointment in myself. I didn't eat properly, I didn't talk properly, I wasn't smart enough, I didn't look good enough, I wasn't good enough at sports, anything I took on I was less than. And I felt judged all the time, and I kept thinking that I saw around me people who were all getting every aspect better than I was. And I felt that they were better liked by the higher power than I was. And that there was something that I could do or adjust to gain approval of my higher power. I continued with that because I did have a belief that there was something more in the world than just what I was seeing. But I also felt that somehow something was missing for me. And I had tremendous difficulty as I was getting older believing that if you didn't believe in one faith, that there was a possibility that you'd go to hell. The idea that a higher power had a hell and a limbo, all of that didn't sit with me. I was having such trouble with my religion. And it seemed like there wasn't any real conversation about any of that. We were spoon-fed it, and if you were behaving yourself, you just believed it. You didn't challenge it. You didn't rock the boat. When I came into this program, I had already begun work on that because it hadn't worked for me. I had found myself despairing. Oh, did you get hit? Oh, one of the berries from the tree. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
right.
Startling. Are you all right?
I'm all right.
Okay.
Sorry.
So look out for the berries from this tree. They're violent. Bombs on 4th of July. So what I realized was at about the age of 34 or 35, I had an episode that landed me in the hospital, and I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Then I really felt God didn't work for me because I thought, okay, now I'm being punished for yet something else. And I did think, okay, my life has been stopped as I know it. I now have an opportunity to recreate myself. And at the same time, I thought, I can recreate this higher power that I've got. So I began to read a lot of literature, and one of the things that I was drawn to was, because of a dear friend of mine, the AA Big Book. And I read it from cover to cover. I didn't join any program at that time, but I read it from cover to cover, and I felt that I got some answers in that, some relief, simply reading it. As life progressed for me, I was putting on weight. I was having difficulty with being very extreme. I was full of energy, then I was full of despair. I did a thing beautifully, then I didn't do it at all. There was no middle ground in my life and no consistency. When I came into this program, I came in primarily because I had a very dear friend who had been in one program for 17 years and this program for 7 years. I had put on a tremendous amount of weight. My top weight was 225 pounds, which, you know, is relative according to the issues everybody in this room is in this area is dealing with. But for me, I had always been 20 or 30 pounds overweight, and now I was getting nigh on to 100 pounds overweight, and felt punished again. So my sister had contracted cancer and subsequently died of it, and I was one of her primary caretakers during that process. My sorrow and disappointment were so great by the time I came into this program, I was having a hard time getting up and functioning in a day. Just having a day, and I knew I was unhealthy, my weight was unhealthy, I was having trouble moving, I used to do a lot of walking, that was getting difficult, I went to the gym and took a yoga class, and I couldn't do any of the postures because I had an enormous stomach between me and possibility of touching my toes. So I just didn't know what I was going to do. It seemed to me like life was shutting down for me, and I was in a despair that I just never really experienced, really profound despair. I then came to these rooms, and I have to say that I was startled when the second step was read, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, that the sorrow that came out of me, I think I cried for the first 2 months. I hear that, read, and then I just cried through the rest of the meeting. And I thought, is it possible that we can truly be restored to sanity? Not only just sane existence in the world, but for me, true sanity in my mind. It seemed like there was so much chatter and so much that was negative in my mind all the time. So what I began to realize is I was drug abstinent right away from the substance of sugar. That was something that just left my life right away. And that alone made a huge difference in my life. And I began to realize that my body chemistry is really affected by what I eat, and I wasn't eating healthy. And it was causing some of the drama that was going on. But what I really found was an opportunity through the steps, and particularly my fourth step, getting rid of some of the conversation of my past and sitting down with a compassionate sponsor and reading this information and past history to them. I walked away from that with a tremendous relief, letting go of bags that I had packed that were obviously just knocking me out. I was compulsively overeating because of them, and I was in despair because of them. So I received immediate relief right away. For any of you that might conceivably be newcomers, I cannot recommend more highly moving through your steps. The rewards are so much greater than any fear you have about working them, that I cannot tell you the grace that you'll stand in just from having done that, the serenity you can find around your life. So I began to hear from other people differences in their higher powers, and I began to research and create a new higher power for myself. So whenever I had a thought that didn't work for me, I got to make my higher power more compassionate. I had made my higher power so human it had all of the problems I had. If I was judgmental, it was judgmental. If I was critical, it was critical. I thought, ooh, it's got to be better than me. I'm in this program because I don't think I'm doing so well. Why would I actually drag a higher power in here and not heal that a little bit? so I got an opportunity to heal my thought about what is talking to me and what is there for me. And I got to finally clean it up and get something that was totally loving and totally supportive. That even when I said something negative to myself, it was standing there saying, that's not true. You have always been and always will be a right and perfect person. How you want to adjust that to make yourself easy to live with in the world, I'm there to support you. And particularly, I found that if it wasn't just about me, if it was about how I was behaving with you, it was how I was driving for other people, not myself, it was easier for me to hear that voice. If I thought, okay, if I get in my car today, and I'm driving down the highway, and I'm in a hurry, and I'm late, what can you do to help me here? I need help so that I don't take that out on everybody else on the street, that I still drive in a compassionate way and obey the laws. And I found that that changed. It didn't change 100%. I still had days when I got in my car and I was already, you know, whipping down the street trying to get around somebody that I thought was going too slow before I'd have the thought of, oh, it's all about you again. It's all about you again. And as soon as I'd have that thought, I'd get a chance to adjust my sanity. What was so extraordinary about all of this was I began to see that quite easily I lost 30 pounds. Quite easily I lost 35 and then up to 40 pounds. I danced with 5 pounds back and forth. I danced with another substance. I picked up and put down smoking 3 times in this program. I've been in these rooms for 6 years now. I have 3.5 years of abstinence. And some of that was because I picked up substances that I had agreed were a part of my abstinence and started over again. What I have found is I had an opportunity to grow up here. Just like my higher power grew up, I got to grow up. And I find today extraordinary things. There's almost no clutter in my house. I always seem to eat the food that I buy. It's not all rotting in the cupboards. I don't spend a lot of money anymore. I had issues with money, and I'm putting more money away now because I don't eat out all the time. It's okay for me to throw food away. You know, I even find myself sometimes, I was out to lunch with a girlfriend the other day, and there was food left on her plate. She said, well, what am I going to do? I have to take that home. And without thinking, took a glass of water and poured it on it. I said, well, you actually don't. You don't have to take it all home. You don't. If you have a fear about that, you can choose as an adult that that's not a good idea for you to take that home. You don't have to. She said, oh, yeah, that seems kind of sane. And I said, it is sane for me today. But I said, you know, I have no right to do that to your food. I apologize for that. But I said, it's just my impulse. Hey, I don't have to do anything today. That voice that there are starving children in other countries, you have to eat this, has not served me well. And now I find that I actually have money and finance that I can send to those countries that might actually help them rather than my food. Yeah, that I do. So I think they can use that more for the resources they need than, you know, my extra whatever. But, you know, when you're a child and you hear those things, they can lock down. That's the beauty of this program, is those things, there are many layers of those. We've been hearing them since we were small children. I actually believe we're born with it in our DNA, that we're actually healing past lives of this stuff. Some of it is so ingrained that, or the nationality you were born into, you're healing that thought. I think it's so beautiful that today I get to have a thought like that, and I can actually recognize that it doesn't sound sane. Run it by a couple of people, and I can change it. So the past doesn't have to run my life today. Simply because I did it in the past that way doesn't mean I have to do it that way today. I get to recreate all of my behavior. So the things I was going to say is, I'm on time now. I have gas in my tank. I don't forget to put gas in my car. I try to leave a little early. Today I left 35 minutes early because I've never been here before. And I thought, I don't want to come tearing in here with my hair on fire going, I'm the first speaker and I'm late. And it's an insult to you. Now, those things can still happen. That can still be God's will, that I leave a half an hour early and I can't get here because there's fire trucks in the way or something. Then I have to surrender to that, you know. But I've done something in advance. I think about it the night before, not the morning of. And I actually wake up early so that I can be done with my ablutions and arrived, you know. And those things didn't occur to me before. I was falling out of bed at the last minute at the order of the clock and staggering around the house. And if I needed a cup of coffee, that slowed me up. And, you know, I think the night before, okay, if you have to be somewhere early in the morning and you want a cup of coffee, why don't you prepare the pot the night before so when you get up and you just punch that and you get in the shower and you come out and your coffee's ready and you walk out the door like a sane person. What I have found is I live my life now in the middle ground. I don't have a lot of highs and lows. And for a while, that was really hard for me. Those highs were fun. They were zippy and exciting. And my life isn't so zippy and exciting now. But the gifts that I get in return are that I've learned how much I like the middle ground. It's lovely to be a person that people can count on. To say you're going to be somewhere and you're there. I make more commitments now than I was able to make in the past. Because as fast as I was moving, I wasn't getting a lot done. Because it was too crazy. So I'd get like four balls in the air and start spinning. Well, let's tear a closet apart. Let's do a load of wash. Let's make a phone call. Let's decide to cook this meal. And I'm going to run over and help the neighbor garden. And pretty soon, you know, nothing's getting done. And people are saying, could you take your laundry out? Are you going to put those plants in? I know, honey. It was terrible. What I have found is, today, I don't do that. But I have some idea, some parameters of what I can get done in a day that I can get done well. I can make a commitment in advance, months in advance, and know that I can protect it. I was always wondering if something more fun might come along and I didn't want to book anything beyond today. I can do that now, too, and it's just terrific. I still have mornings that I wake up and I feel blue or overwhelmed. And on those mornings, I have tools now. I can tell myself, that's an old story. That's it, fine. Oh. I can tell myself that's an old story, and I can, in fact, say my prayers and use my tools and find myself turning that day around. Or at least continuing to do my day with that as a hum in the background. It doesn't control my day. Anyway, so that was the 5-2. It was the whole 15. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for letting me share. And now that that's done with, please help me welcome our next speaker, Rich.
Hi, I'm Rich, and I'm a compulsive reader.
Hi, Rich.
10 and 15. I want to inadvertently thank my higher power for not allowing there to be a microphone today, because I can speak in physical recovery at this voice. I can speak of the mental obsession in this voice, and I usually talk about spiritual recovery at this voice. So my God is pushing me to speak at full volume today about my higher power. In 1998, after years of working for other people, me and my two best friends started our own company. And on paper, it's everything I wanted, because I no longer had to rely on a jerk boss. I had had jerk bosses my whole life. And after my whole life of working, I got to be the boss. I was free. I no longer had to depend upon somebody above me. For the first time in my life, I was independent. And it was the most freeing experience for the first 13 days, and on the 14th day, payroll was due. And I realized I was more dependent on forces that I had less control over than every jerk boss I had ever had in my life. So from 1998 to 2006, when I finally left that company, I was in a world of misery because I had no boss. And I had no spiritual higher power that I was really relying on to be my boss. And I didn't know that that sense of utter aloneness, that utter fear of, I don't know what's going to happen to me, and I have no one to rely on, I have nothing to rely on, was not the normal feeling that we all had every day, the same way we breathe, the same way we walk, the same way we wake up and go to the bathroom. I didn't know that it could be differently. And I lived with that, just to thinking, that's just how it is. Tough crap, that's how it is. And what I did in that experience is I made one of my partners my higher power. And he loved the opportunity to do it. He loved to basically be my boss. He welcomed it. And what happened in that scenario is, when good things happened, I thought it was fate, and when bad things happened, I blamed him. By some miracle, and mostly because of this program, we're still very close friends today. But it totally relates to my, what I can vaguely, generally, and just by a hair or string, call my spiritual program today. I have no memory, growing up Roman Catholic in New York, of believing in God. I have a memory of being in CCD class on Saturday morning, as young as I can be, feeling like we were talking about Santa Claus. I used to always feel like we were talking about Santa Claus. It was so silly to me, and I think it came potentially from the fact that my parents went to, brought me to Mass every Sunday, and I could always, I knew from as early as I could that my dad, who I loved to pieces, was being dragged there behind the scenes. My dad didn't want to be there. My dad was doing it because he's some whatever, and I knew my dad didn't believe in what was going on. And I just, for whatever reason, I always picked it up, and I never believed in God. Not even agnostic, nothing. So coming to program was really, really hard. The physical I got, the compulsion I wholly understood. I understood that I have a physical addiction to food, that when I put a potato chip in my mouth, my body reacts differently than my wife does, because she can stop. I finish off a bag in 17 seconds. I don't know how to stop. I understand the mental compulsion. I understand that when my wife has a food, like Hershey's Kisses, that she can't stop. She's aware of that, and she knows if she buys a bag, she will eat the whole bag. I have a mental compulsion that this time, if I open the bag and I start the bag, I believe that this time I will stop at 5. And it never happens. But the spiritual was just a kick in the ass every step of the way. And I was told to read We Agnostics, and it was like I could feel the flames in the back of my head. Like, this is what I would tell someone if I wanted them to believe in Santa Claus. I mean, that's how so hardcore I was about it, and it was a fight every step of the way. The only thing that was true that I couldn't, the only proof I had that I couldn't refute when people, sponsors, friends, people with more time than in the program, I couldn't say anything against this, but people who believed this were losing hundreds of pounds. Collectively, thousands and tens of thousands of pounds right in front of me, talking like I talked when I talked about the food and finding a solution that I couldn't find. And there are times where my back had been up against the wall before a program where I had asked God, and he didn't listen. He didn't give me what I wanted before a program. Now, the truth is, I, at those times, was not asking God to relieve me of the compulsion. I was not asking God to show me a way that I could eat sanely. I was asking God to let me eat whatever I want and lose 50 pounds overnight. And he was not delivering on that promise. So I just dismissed that. But I finally had to start breaking down when I just had no other options. And I think my lowest point, which is my best point, and a number of people here have heard me, I apologize for repeating, 2006, my company was careening towards bankruptcy. We were personally careening towards bankruptcy, being dragged by it. I was working 15-hour days, miserable, having no idea how we were going to make payroll. I could not stop compulsively overeating because I had no tools to deal with everything that was going on in my life. And I just cracked the door open to believing in a higher power. Just a crack. And the way that I did it for me personally was simply by looking at friends of mine in program who were having wonderful spiritual lives. Maybe their life itself wasn't perfect, but they had a peace that I wanted. And I just started to say, what would a person who believed in God do in this situation? I'm not going to believe in God today. I'm just going to try to take the next step action that someone who believed in God would take today. And it just started to work. And my worst fears about my business all came true. Every bad thing that could have happened, multiplied worse than I thought it would have happened. And I relied on my friends, I relied on my sponsor, and I kept doing the next right action. I removed myself from that situation with grace, with dignity, slowly got out of there, was jobless, found a new situation. It's not perfect. I don't know if it's what I'll do the rest of my life, but it was the next step in front of me. And it's what people who believe in God would do next. And that has allowed me to go, when the question of God comes up, maybe. The first time I said to my wife, actually my wife and I were at dinner, she said it. We were talking with a couple of friends, very anecdotal, talking about something about God, and my wife's like, oh, don't ask the atheist, or something like that. And I said, well, I wouldn't call myself an atheist, and my wife almost fell off the chair. Because for some reason, in that moment, with after years of mental debate in my head, the decision to go from atheist to agnostic, if that's what we want to call it, happened without my knowing. It didn't happen in a debate. It didn't happen in a burning bush or a white light. It just happened because I had been doing what other people who believe in God would do for so long and had benefited so much that when it was put to me, it just didn't sound right that I was an atheist anymore, because I suddenly sort of felt like, well, there's got to be something. I don't even know what. And as soon as I started to think 2 seconds past that, I had to shut it down. Because I realized when they say that we have to quit the debating society, that was written for me. And still to this day, I'm driving here today, I'm running late, I make an illegal move, there's a police car right there, he doesn't notice me, and I keep right on going. That is either an interesting coincidence or a sign from my higher power. Now the truth is, immediately my head wants to figure out which it is, and the truth is, it doesn't matter. I took it as a sign from my higher power today, and I drove sanely and soberly the rest of the way here. So it doesn't matter whether it was coincidence, whether it was fate, whether it was a higher power. The point is, I got the message whether it was meant for me or not. You know, and I was thinking about that as I was pulling up here. I always, you know, related it to Santa Claus. And I had this epiphany when I was parking. You know, when I believed in Santa Claus, I got great gifts every year. And when I stopped believing in Santa Claus, I got socks. So it doesn't really matter where it's coming from. It works if I work it. And that's the kick in the ass every single day. I don't want to work it. I'm fundamentally lazy. That's who I am. I want it to be worked for me. You know, when I'm fighting with a food plan, as I often am, I'm debating and debating and debating, but the truth is, I just got to take an action. I just got to pick a food plan and stick to it for the day. I just got to do it. I know what to eat. I've been on every diet. I have all the information in my head. It doesn't matter. I just got to do it. And it's so true when it comes to when I find the willingness to ask my higher power what the next step is. If I don't have the willingness to do that, I have to ask myself, what would someone who believes in God think is the next step? If I can't do that, I have to ask a friend, what would you do in this situation, just the next step? When I can find that willingness, I have the serenity. I have this feeling that I'm not alone anymore. And, you know, there's weight loss and there's being connected to a higher power and finding serenity in your life. I would like both, but if on a day-to-day basis I have to choose one, well, it's a no-brainer because I thought I only wanted to lose weight, but I came to program to be happy. I just thought the only way in my life I could be happy is if I was thin. Turns out there's other ways, and that's amazing to me. Hopefully they'll go hand in hand, and in many, many cases, with most of my friends, it is true. Because when I'm compulsively overeating, I am blocking the feelings that would normally force me to take the next step towards God. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to do it. So it's procrastination from living my life, and it's adding weight on my body that's unhealthy. It's lose-lose. I don't know where I got it from. It worked for a while. It doesn't work anymore. And yet it's still my default operating system. That's how I was wired, and I understand that on some level I'll never change that. And every morning when I boot up, if I don't run the program that corrects those operating system errors, I'm going to default right back to, well, you know what, before I have breakfast, I'll have a little something, a snack. Well, you know what, the meal isn't really over, so I'll have a little bit more because it's technically not over. That's how it starts for me. Today was so bad at work that I could just have a little bit more after dinner. I'm going to call it a dinner. And I'm not exactly going to tell the truth to my sponsor. Or the next day, I'm going to forget to call my sponsor conveniently so I don't have to turn over that food. That's how I sort of veer back. And you know what? That's not laziness. That's fear. That's the fear of dealing with the things in my life that I don't want to deal with, because for 34 years, I couldn't deal with them because I didn't have a higher power. And it's amazing to anyone who can, I applaud you and do whatever you got to do, but I can't deal with life without some feeling that I'm connected to something. And one of the biggest miracles is when I feel connected to something greater than myself, and I believe that each of you are connected to the same thing, by definition, I feel closer to each of you. So instead of going through my life in a bubble, I could be 6 inches from your body, but I was a million miles away. Unless you could help me, and that was a different situation. But for the most part, I was a million miles away. And that was true of strangers, coworkers, you know, my first fiancé, then wife, because I didn't know any different. When I feel connected to something greater than myself and know that each of you are connected to the same higher power, I just start to feel closer. And I don't know if it expresses itself any differently. You'd have to ask my friends. You'd have to ask my wife. You'd have to ask my family. I don't know. But I feel closer. And it's it feels like a better way to live my life. That's how I want to live my life. I don't know what job it'll be. I don't know whether I'll make a lot of money or whether we're going to have to scrimp and save every week to make rent. I don't know what weight I'm going to be. But I love my new life, which is being closer to the people around me, whether they're strangers, friends, or coworkers. It's a gift that this program gives me when I work the program. And I just need to be reminded that it doesn't happen when I go to 2 meetings a week, forget to call people, the phone rings, I see the caller ID of someone in the program, and I hit ignore. That's a sure sign that I'm slowly going to end up eating a bag of chips. Other people it's drink, other people it's drugs. For me, the more I see a fellow in program call and I hit ignore, the more I'm ignoring my program, the more I'm heading towards that dinner that is not right for me today. It's absolutely cause and effect. And the miracle is when I hit accept, I'm hitting accept. I'm accepting. I'm accepting program. I get on the phone. And the great thing is I can be in the worst physical place, talk to a friend in program about nothing. About TV the night before, about, it doesn't matter, somehow it makes my connection stronger and it makes the next meal a little bit easier to deal with. It's a miracle of program. I so fundamentally want to dissect it and understand it, and I know that it is the surest path for me relapsing again. I know it. I have to fight it every day. So for today, I'm in acceptance. I'm hugely thankful that I was asked to speak, and I'm excited to hear everyone else. Thanks a lot.
Okay, last but not least, please help me welcome our last speaker, Jack. There you go. The remote possibility that somebody can't hear Jack, just raise your hand.
I'm Jack, I'm a compulsive reader.
Hi, Jack. Hey.
Oh, man. And where's Rich? I know there's no problem. I thought I didn't get Christmas presents because I'm not Jewish. I didn't know it because I didn't believe. I'm live and learn. For the newcomer, I've been around a long time, and I came here thinking I knew everything, or I conveyed that I knew everything, and down deep inside, I kind of thought I knew nothing. And now, 25 years later, I realize how little I know, and it's bizarre. I was going to turn to tarot, like I have for the last 13 years, and play like an idiot child who knows nothing, and ask him what I should say. And he would look at me, and he would never give me any other answer, probably other than, or he'd either look up, he'd say pray, he'd say God, he'd say very little, and he'd say everything. And I'd say, sure, makes sense, and then I wouldn't do it, and then I'd just be pissed at him. And didn't tell him. I had a great life going, but it was mostly between my ears. And it's changing today. Just to get it out of the way, I've been around 25 years, and my top weight is a little over 300 pounds, and everything has changed, and it hits me on a daily basis how much it's changed. This morning, I was getting ready to get dressed, and I'm thinking about what to wear today. And I remember some of the pictures and some of the memories that when I was 300 pounds, it really wasn't a whole long thought process about what to wear. There's one time in my life at 18 years old that from the big men's shop, and I don't remember if it was the one by Hollywood High School on Highland or if it was the one on Fairfax below Santa Monica. But it was only one of those two because there were no places else to shop. And the guy is, or Eddie's, obviously, little Eddie at Zachary Hall. And he would sell me these ridiculous outfits that were incredibly expensive and try to convince me they really looked good, and they never did. And I knew he had to, I thought of that guy yet lately. I lost my phone this week. And so I go to a phone place, and the guy sells me a phone. And at the end, I say, oh, I need a little carrying case. He says, I got the exact one for you. So he gives me this one, and I buy it because it matched the pants I was wearing. And as I'm ready to leave, I said, you know what? Maybe I should get a more practical thing. I'll get a black one. He said, oh, we don't have a black one. And I said, well, maybe I like a little bit smaller, less expensive. He said, we don't have a smaller one. So I realized this schmuck just sold me the only thing he had. And I think I paid $45 or something for this piece of crap. There were no options. Today, there's lots of options. And the biggest fear I had is my wife just bought me, or made me buy Madras shorts. Thank you. Well, she has never even seen me wearing them, as you say in that. I got choices today. I didn't make plans for the fourth after here, and a friend called me yesterday. And he called me at a time I wasn't supposed to be there, so he could ask me to come over, which he didn't really even mean. And I answered the phone, which sounded like it annoyed him, and he didn't know what to say, so he asked me and my wife to come over to his house today. And I said yes. And so I really pissed him off. And that's how it's been working for me today. When I came in for the first 10, 12, 15 years, as those of you who've been around for a while listening to this Mishnah Gosh know, it was about a food plan and my weight and the scale and some therapy and dealing with inner child and issues. That was my program. Then I met Gerald. And it's no longer my program. If it was, I wouldn't tell him. If you're new, this part makes no sense. So it's a harder sell. Losing weight is an easy sell. Working steps, I mean, yeah, sure. Three meals a day. My food plan hasn't changed in 25 years. I eat three meals a day, and some people say I'm rigid. Some people used to say I was rigid. I don't hear that anymore. I'm not rigid. I'm living life in a way that works for me. I guess you could call it diabetic rigid, or you could call somebody who keeps kosher rigid. I don't see it that way. They just have found a way, like all of us have, to live a life that works for us as we understand it within the parameters of what we do. Guess what? That's all I've done today. I just don't eat between meals. And I don't eat sugar. And I don't eat bread. And I don't drink. And there's not a whole lot of other stuff I don't eat. That being said, that's how the weight stays off. And it's been about 120 pounds. I don't own a scale today. I used to weigh myself 15 times a day. And we can go through the things I used to go through about before the first pee, after the first pee, holding the towel rack, not holding the towel rack, naked, almost naked, 1 foot, 2 feet, 3 feet, 4 feet, I don't know, after a shower, before the shower. And it made sense to me. That's the scary part. And somebody telling me this makes no sense, made no sense. This is the way you have to live. When you're living in fear, that if you sit on a plastic chair with cloth, you'll break it, is no way to live. I probably wouldn't have felt comfortable sitting on the concrete table before if I could have gotten my ass up here and my legs crossed. Today, the worst that will happen is I'll break the canvas. It doesn't matter anymore. Plus, Natalie, I was in a meeting where Natalie was speaking not all that long ago, and Natalie's maintained about a 2,000-pound weight loss for about 75 years. And she says she doesn't eat much anymore, and it's not because she's still recovering, it's because she's old. And she doesn't want to eat much. My recovery's getting better over the years, so just hang around long enough to get old. I'm too tired to do some of the shit I used to do. I don't want to make amends. So I stopped doing some of the crap I used to do that I have to apologize for. I was driving my wife to where she's going. Where's she going on the holiday? The mall. Where else is she going to go any day of the week? And what I wanted to do was say something about that as she was getting her nail products ready for the manicure. And then I realized, what am I thinking? I could do what I know how to do organically, which is to be angry and obnoxious and controlling. I know how to do that. It's easy. Or I could try something different, God forbid, after 25 years, and God forbid, perpetuate some happiness, some joyousness, and some freeness. And so I wished her a good morning. I backed off of the intensity that I'm sure she felt. I apologized, and I thanked her for being receptive to what I hadn't even said, and she winked like she got what I was meaning, and she said, it's over. And then she went on, and I went on, and so far so good. Why it changes is, I guess what recovery is really about, after you get over, getting it, go away if you were overweight, and then getting underweight because it feels important to do, and then staying underweight and loving it when people tell you you're too thin, and then having health problems that the doctor tells you is related to undereating, and say, I'll do something about it, and not, and all the stuff. I mean, it takes what it takes to get to where we're going, you know? And it's finally making some sense. My life is predicated today to the extent that I surrender on a daily basis. I get a daily reprieve from the mishigas and the noise in my head, the extent to which I maintain some spiritual connection. The program to me is more about the 11th step than ever before, trying to align my will with God's, because his is right, and his ain't going anywhere, and mine's generally fairly wrong, and generally very stubbornly entrenched and not going anywhere, and it's a standoff, and it's idiotic, because he's right, and I'm wrong, and I'm obstinate, and it's silly. So I have some rituals, and the rituals are in the morning. I don't turn the radio on anymore, and I learned that from a sponsee who accidentally gave me credit publicly, and I never had the insight to have thought of that in my life. And so I thanked him, but now I do it. Every morning when I get in my car, the instinct is to turn on talk radio because it's noise, and if nothing else, it blots out the noise that's in there anyway. It's external noise, which is better than internal noise because I've heard all of the internal noise. But today I don't do that. I get into the car, and I rattle off the serenity prayer, and I rattle off the first three steps. And sometimes I forget where I am in them, and I get back on track. And sometimes I get distracted while I'm driving, and I try to get back on track. And then I do, God, I offer myself to thee, and then I get lost, and then I get back on track. And next thing I know, I fairly safely drove to work. It's 20 minutes later, and I feel better. And it's a good way to start the day. And I generally, that's how I start the day. And then I realized this morning in the shower, why am I waiting until I get in the car? Because I like to hurry up. I live in a valley, I work in a city, and I don't like traffic. It's not enough that I leave at 6 o'clock in the morning to avoid the traffic. But this morning, I'm in the shower, all of a sudden, I found myself rattling off some of the mantras. And you know what? Any tension that may have been in me, and there wasn't very much, just kind of let out. What am I going to eat for lunch today? I don't know where I'm going for lunch today. Will I have to worry about it? In the beginning, I did. I'd call ahead to find out what they were serving. You know what? It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter anymore. The third step is I turn my life and my will over. I think something, Richard, my second sponsor, the one before Terrell, realized I was struggling with the spiritual stuff. I was raised Jewish. I'm a semi-practicing conservative Reformed Jew who goes to temple on the high holidays and lights a candle. And I know all the songs and I know most of the food intimately. But we never learned anything about God stuff. My dad is fairly intelligent. He's fairly cognitive. And I don't think he's particularly spiritual at all. And so my journey has not been contempt prior to investigation. It's been a lot of indifference, a lot of fear, and a lot of avoidance. And today what I do is, the second step for me today is, came to know a source of information within me that, if accessed and honored, will allow me to function at a higher level than I've ever functioned before. There's a place inside me, or up there, or it's Richie's Magic Johnson, or it's George Burns in the movie, or it's Charlton. I don't care. I haven't quit the debate. I really never... I'm not particularly controversial in a way. I got a big mouth, but I'm not controversial because I know what works for me. What works for me is 3 meals a day. If it works for you to have 2 or 4, I don't care. I don't eat sugar. Some people say, if you were really... My therapist, when I first started working with her, said, if you really embrace recovery, you can eat all foods more moderately. And I wanted to either Lee or Decker. And I realized she's not an overeater. She doesn't get it. God bless her. That's fine. As long as she's helping me in the other areas, I don't have to eat like she eats, and she doesn't have to understand that. No more would it be smart to tell an alcoholic to moderately drink. I treat my food plan as if I'm an alcoholic, or as if I've got a disease. I wear a dog tag. I had a cancer scare 15 years ago that turned out to be a about this far from death allergy to a medicine that nobody's allergic to. So I wear the dog tag. It'd be idiotic to dabble. She's beautiful, that girl. Oh, I'm married. I'm sorry. Okay, married. I can't even look at little... I can't look at anybody anymore inappropriate. I can't hug anybody wrong because Terrell's like right here. Terrell's right here. There's a guy in the program who said he lives his life today as if the life is being videotaped 24/7 and it's going to be reviewed at the end of the day by his rabbi. Not a lot of wiggle room. I just keep Terrell right about here. And I'm okay. He's not my higher power, but you know what? Collectively, I believe in something that I came in here not knowing about and then not believing in and now believing in. I'm on a roll lately with, I wear a dreidel. Its significance to me is the four sides of the dreidel, give or take a little, say, the great miracle happened here. And I've been talking about this shit since the day I decided to wear a dreidel, it's been 2 years, and I'll get sick of it soon. But for today, this is the place where the great miracle happens. To me, it didn't happen in Weight Watchers. It didn't happen in the therapist's office. It didn't happen in Temple. It didn't happen at the Self-Realization Church on Sunset. It happened in these rooms. It happened with you people. It happened on Saturday when I was in a pissy mood after the meeting and I turned to Tony and he listened to me. And at the end, somehow, I talked about not working as active a program as I once did. And he said, it came up between us that maybe we should do more reading. And may I? I said, why don't we each read 3 pages a day and just start back on, and in all due respect, he said, let's make it 2. I love Tony. I wasn't going to do 3 anyway. 2, I've done. And you know what? This is how I work my program. It's been 3 days before today, and I've done it 2 of the 3 days. It's a big deal. It means I'm human, and I got a dang good batting average. You know what I mean? I mean, those guys in the major leagues get paid $18 billion, and they're batting 280. I'm batting 667. And you know what? I'll match what I got with their contract. So I spoke up. I got love. I got a neck rub. I got a suggestion. I got a buddy in recovery, a landsman in recovery, a German word, Yiddish word, meaning men and women, people of the same land. And I felt better. And I haven't seen Tony since Saturday or talked to him. But he's sitting right here reminding me. It's not punitive anymore. I don't want a punitive higher power. I worked in an alcoholism treatment center once, and the interns there, the scrubs or whatever they're called, would shame the inmates. And one day, one of the inmates turned back and said, you know what? Stop it. If I wanted to be shamed, I could go and be with my family. I don't need this shit here. I'm paying for it. So today, I keep Tony here. And he reminds me lovingly that I feel better when I make a commitment. I feel better when I work the steps. I feel better when I turn my life and my will over. I feel better when I use the tools. I feel better when I abide by the traditions. I stole the tradition recently and put it into my marriage. We were having a spat about she said or he said or he wants or I want or she wants. And out of my mouth came, look, and I passed this off as if it were my own. Our common welfare should come first. And she said, I really like that. First time in 25 years, a mate likes something. If you're new, don't leave. Keep coming back. Eat clean, get a food plan, get a sponsor, and don't leave. And the great miracle happens here. Stick around long enough, you'll get old, and you'll be happy, joyous, and free.
Yay!